Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Brian Costello in his customary spot talking Jet football, of course, from the New York Post. And he is sponsored by Winters Brothers, Long Island's number one choice for waste removal and recycling services. By CSEA Local 830, we work for you. By Security Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, and Ram, Suffolk County's number one volume dealer. And by Digital Ally, Capture Truth. If you're into baseball, we'll be talking to Rick Cerrone of Baseball Digest in a little bit. But right now, J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. And Brian, great column in the middle of the week where you laid it on the line. You said this is the one thing that Jet fans are not going to want to hear, but this thing is going to take time.
Yeah, and Joe Beningo confirmed for me that Jets fans wouldn't like it when I spoke to him Thursday. And I got to tell you, Richard, the dulcet tone of your voice is a welcome welcome to me this morning after getting screamed at on Thursday by Joe. But I just look at this, you know, and everyone wants to blame Adam Gase for everything, and he is not blameless in this, obviously. He hasn't done a great job. They're 2-7. The offense has not been what we expected, but it's not just him, and that was kind of my point. And you look at this, there's four cornerstones to an NFL team. And anyone will tell you this, that you know, you need a quarterback, you need a left tackle to protect that quarterback, you need an edge rusher to get after the other team's quarterback, and you need a number one corner to stop that quarterback from throwing. The Jets have maybe one of those. Maybe it's some. I think Sam Darnold is going to be good, but right now you can't say it's 100% that he's going to be that. But they have none of the other three. Right behind that is a good wide receiver for that quarterback to throw to. They don't have a number one wide receiver. The offensive line is a mess to protect that quarterback beyond just left tackle. There's a lot of things that Joe Douglas has to do here to get this thing rolling. You know, when I look at this right now, they have Jamal Adams, who is a blue chip player. C.J. Mosley is a blue chip player when he's healthy, and Sam Darnold might be at some point. But right, other than that, they don't have a whole lot right now on the roster.
Le'Veon Bell, you'd say, right?
Yeah, Le'Veon Bell has been a blue chip player in his career. He hasn't been this year. And I don't view Le'Veon Bell as a long-term Jet. I think he'll be here next year probably, unless they trade him. But after that, I can't see him being a Jet. I think he's short-term. I'm talking long-term building blocks of the team. I don't see Le'Veon Bell being a part of the team.
Okay, well, let's get into that a little bit. I don't see that it's his fault necessarily. I mean, you and I talked when they got him, you know, that his style, he waits for a hole or a crease, and then he darts through it. And we said, with this offensive line, maybe it's not going to work. And guess what? We were right for a change. I think if they did bolster the line, and he's not an old guy, what is he, 27 now, he could be around for a while. Or do you think it would be smart for them to trade him?
I think it depends on how they feel about him internally, how he feels about him, how Joe Douglas feels about him. The part that's tricky with trading him is the contract. They're going to have to eat a lot of the contract if they trade him. I think he's due $13 million next year. There's no team that's going to take that, so they'd have to pay at least half of that, I would think. Is that worth it to them? I don't know. I think it depends on what their plans are in other places. But he looked explosive this summer, and then, you know, it got to where he got to be able to be tackled in the season, and it didn't look so good anymore. And now I think he's banged up. I think his knee's bothering him. He hurt his ribs last week against the Giants. Last week was the first time I thought he looked slow against the Giants. I didn't think he was hitting the holes very hard. There were some holes to hit there, and he wasn't hitting them. And I think you saw that. Bilal Powell came in at one point in the middle of the game, and he kind of burst through. And it was like, wow, like I haven't seen that in a while. So I wouldn't be shocked if tomorrow against the Redskins you see a little bit more Bilal Powell, maybe some Ty Montgomery, maybe even Josh Adams, the fourth running back they have, and maybe they scale back Le'Veon's workload a little bit tomorrow.
Interesting. Let's get back to the coach and the fact that the owner basically didn't say, hey, he's good for the end of the season. He said he's good for the end of next season, that he's the coach for 2020. Was that a little bit too much, do you think? Or do you think he kind of needed to do that so it didn't seem like the coach might be a lame duck?
Yeah, I've gotten back and forth on that, Richard. Initially, I was surprised that Christopher Johnson went as far as he did. But if he's going to say something mid-season, and there was pressure on him to talk mid-season about this team, and he says, you know, we're not making any changes during the season, and we're going to evaluate this thing after the season is over. We spend the next 6 weeks, every day is Adam Gase going to be fired? Is he not going to be fired? So I think Christopher Johnson may have eliminated a little bit of that. There's still going to be plenty of that going on if they lose, but he kind of eliminated some of that by saying, we're not going to make a change after this season. So it cools the hot seat off and ends a lot of our speculation. I think that's why he did it. So in that regard, I think it was probably a smart move to do it. I don't think he could have come out and just said, we're not going to do anything in season, because that would just increase speculation about after the season.
Sure. And I don't know that that's actually a guarantee either, because we saw with McKagnon, he obviously changed his mind on McKagnon. So if he sees that, God, this guy can't coach, this is terrible, he could do that and say, never mind, I changed my mind. You know, he could,
but he'd really lose a lot of credibility, Richard. I mean, he already took a hit on credibility by telling us how great Mike McKagnon was in March and then firing him in May.
So I think
he has to stick by this. Now, you said till the end of next season. I didn't read it as that. I think he starts next season as a coach. Could they make a change in season next year if things don't work out? I guess. I'm not a big fan of in-season changes, but I don't think, if it's a terrible start to the season, 0-8 or something like that, I think they probably move on from Adam Gase.
Yeah, okay. I would go along with that.
Yeah.
The rest of the season now, they've got a fairly easy schedule. I mean, Oakland is not going to be that easy, and Miami's already beat them, and Baltimore and Pittsburgh and Buffalo. That's going to be tough. But, are you looking for wins? Are you looking for progress?
Yeah.
What are you looking for the rest of the year?
Both. I think they need to win some of these games. And to me, you look at it, and they have three teams that are in their weight class. And because the Jets are a bad team, and the markets, if they're doing talk radio in Cincinnati this morning, they're going, well, they got a game against the Jets coming up in 3 weeks. They could win that one, right? Like that's talking these other towns. So to me, the Redskins, the Bengals, and the Dolphins are in their weight class. I think you have to win those three games, and then they've got the Raiders and the Steelers and the Bills, who are kind of like middle teams. You're not sure how good they are. Like they're going to reveal themselves over these last 7 weeks of the season. And they're not winning Baltimore against the Rams on Thursday night. That's to be an elite team. So, if you win the three games against the teams that are kind of in your division, so to speak, in the bad part of the NFL standings, that gets you to five wins. And then if you can steal one against the Raiders, Steelers, or Bills, you're up to six. I think that would be a pretty good finish to the season, considering the way it started. And obviously, you want to see progress from Sam Darnold. And I think you're seeing that. I saw it even against the Dolphins. It kind of got obscured by that bad interception, but I thought he played better against the Dolphins than he had against the Jaguars or Patriots. And then last week, he didn't turn the ball over. He made some really good decisions. So, that's what you need to see here over the last 6 weeks of the season.
Well, he will tell you that he never lost confidence. He's always had confidence. He's always had, belief in himself. But, observing it from outside, you got to believe that he was a bit shaken, a little bit.
Yeah.
But he'd never admit it.
Yeah, I don't know if it's confidence. He is a pretty, just even-keeled guy that doesn't get, not much affects him. You can tell. His nickname from his family growing up was Flatline, because that's kind of who he is. But I think it affected him on the field. I'm not sure if confidence is a word. He was so rattled after that Patriots game, and he got so beat up that day. I don't think he was trusting himself necessarily on the field for most of that game against the Patriots, and then even against the Jaguars, I saw it. But I think he's come back from that, and it helps when you're facing some weaker defenses too. The Dolphins and the Giants are not the greatest defenses in the world, so I think that's helped. And he gets another one with the Redskins, who they're not in the same class as the Patriots or the Jaguars defense.
Real quick, your take on the Myles Garrett situation.
I thought they did the right thing. I thought they acted quickly, and he had to be suspended for the rest of the season. You can't have people using a helmet as a weapon. As some people are acting like it's the worst thing they've ever seen, it's not the worst thing I've ever seen. But I think in the age of social media, that gets blown up. But I thought the NFL handled it well, and handed out the right type of suspension for him.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Okay, Brian, well, we'll see what happens in Washington. Again, you want to see wins against Washington, Cincinnati, Miami. I'm not entirely confident they're going to get them, but it'll be interesting. Okay, talk
Thanks
to you
for
next
not
weekend.
Yelling at me, Richard.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.